The Rich Paul rule. Rich Paul rules.
You know, for like 3 years, I thought he was just like the Chris Paul doppelganger, like Rich Paul, Cliff Paul, Rich Paul.
Do you know how long I thought Rich Paul was on the back of Maverick Carter's head, like in Harry Potter or shit? I was like, oh, this is two different people. I'm confused.
Send the link.
Welcome to Send the Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and reads. I'm Brandon Harrison with my co-captain, co-pilot, and co-member of the All-Decade team.
Ah, yes. All-Century.
All-Century.
All-Millennium. All, how about that?
All-Time team.
All-Time.
$80. DJ.
Brandon.
We're back at it.
We're back. And I wanted to personally admonish you.
Admonish.
Where have we been? Where have you been?
I have been in the midst, listeners and co-host, of a harrowing move.
Harrowing? I mean, isn't every New York move harrowing?
That's pretty accurate until you decide that you're going to just overpay for everything. Like, you know, I just...
I get like, they're just going to pack up all my shit.
Y'all do everything, and I was going to just pocket. You just eat, just deal with it.
Just deal with it.
You know what? Because after dealing with so much of Republican policies recently, I'm starting to internalize, I always got more time. We're not really worried about actual value. We're worried about time.
Yeah.
Because that's all debt is time.
Time is money. You're paying for convenience.
And eventually, I'll be dead.
Yeah. So, and you got the most out of your time, hopefully.
Exactly.
Hopefully, you spent that time saved from packing instead, eating sandwiches as you like to do. And
indeed.
Preparing for the eventual pod.
Of course.
Yeah. So we're here. We're back.
We back. We've got more heat because there's been a lot of heat in the world.
It's been a lot of heat in the world.
It's crazy. It's burning down out there.
And more ways than one. Triumphs and tragedies, as they tend to happen. More tragedies than not.
Is that a Meek Mill album?
Probably coming soon. He got Dreams and Nightmares. Yeah. Maybe I'm just more poetic than I generally think about myself. But.
And Comrade, what has been up with you?
Comrade. Are we getting red rosed out here?
I like to think of myself as the far left, Chapo Trap House and all that shit.
Okay. Dirtbag left. Okay, yeah, we're gonna be part of the communist scare. Aren't you like tangentially involved with like the show business? Nigga, don't get blacklisted or whatever. Blackballed.
I'm gonna have to take that path through the fucking upside down and end up in communist Russia and shit.
Right. But nah, I've been good. Just trying to enjoy the last quarter of the summer. So spent some time on the Jersey Shore, the non fist pumping part over the weekend. Just relaxing, but also
they make you pay out there sometimes on the beach.
Yeah, Asbury Park, $7.
Yeah.
To get on the beach.
Yeah.
And the slushy machine wasn't working. It was kind of frustrating.
That hurts.
Yeah, but
The summer never ends, DJ.
Never ends. Still dealing with the daily affliction of following the news and not knowing where it takes you. And probably for the first time in quite some time, I was really caught agape by the news.
Gasp.
I woke up on a Saturday morning, and did my usual, routine.
Cereal.
Cereal, bacon, eggs, everything. Orange juice, all in a blender. not really. But one thing I definitely do, just out of habit, is I refresh my New York Times app.
Oh, I thought you opened an actual newspaper. I can just hear it. No. Stocks are up.
No, I wish.
On Saturday.
Nah, man. It's all within the palm of my hand. The world is in your hand. And first thing you saw was breaking.
Do-do-do.
Jeffrey Epstein found dead in his jail cell. I was like, what the fuck?
It's not funny.
But it's fucking crazy, sir. I was like, what? So, Jeffrey Epstein, and now infamous, accused... actually convicted child
Once
sex trafficker.
Time.
Right. Got off on a sweetheart deal from the one-time labor secretary, Alex Acosta, in the Trump administration. Mm-hmm. That was a big info dump. But was facing federal charges and federal charges and was being housed at the MCC. I believe that is the Metropolitan Correctional Center.
MTC. I thought it was Manhattan.
Manhattan, maybe? Yeah, Manhattan. You can look it up.
I am looking it up.
We got pieces.
It's not Muslim Community Center.
It is not the Muslim Community Center. Don't just Google shit and then tell me where it is.
Metropolitan Correctional Center.
See, I was right.
You were right. Shout out to you.
All right. Because I knew some people that have been in there. Shout out. Word is Maxie might be out.
I saw that, right? Yeah. Like, he's like
hanging around Harlem like fucking... what's his name? The Alpo? You know, Alpo got out and then he's just been laying low in Harlem. Just shaking hands, kissing babies, being an infamous figure. But yeah, Jeffrey Epstein had been remanded by a federal judge because they viewed him as a flight risk in the midst of this indictment that he's in on new charges of sex trafficking and a whole litany of salacious things.
Basically, just orchestrating an entire sex ring.
Yes.
Underage sex.
Right. And conjoined with a lot of powerful entities and figures. He was a known sophist and interacted a lot with a lot of academics and lawyers and scientists and politicians. Two of the four most recent presidents, right? George Bush and Donald Trump were close friends and associates that had flown on his planes and mm-hmm. been to one of his private islands. Was a peculiar, complex figure. Probably,
supposedly, like, didn't he have someone Clinton as well?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. What, he's killed by the Clintons or what?
No, they sound like him and Bill Clinton. I don't know.
What?
Drink Henny? I don't know.
Playing the sex.
That's part of the conspiracy world, too. But
right. Okay. So this shit just goes all over the place. But he got into public prominence, most specifically based on intrepid reporting in the Miami area. I know they were trying to really put more spotlight on the previous case that he had in the Southern District of Florida, the Miami area, where he was actually, I guess, pled out to similar charges there.
Yes.
And based on his high-powered lawyer team and the, not the district attorney, but the state attorney, well, the assistant attorney there. What is it? USA. Oh, the U.S. attorney there yes. gave him a deal that was relatively sweetheart. Didn't have to really do any time. Spent, I think, like one night in prison a week or something for a couple months and got off relatively scot-free. And a lot of people were upset about that. The details of the case and how the young women were labeled in the case as prostitutes compared to child sex workers or something a bit more appropriate was allowed to pass through into all the legal documentation. So it left a lot of people upset about it. And this was all revisited after Alex Acosta was named as labor secretary under the Trump administration. So he got questions about this even at his hearing approved or what have you, and still made it through, but the reporting never stopped after that. So then more and more people got attention of it
because the second round it was broken by the Herald, right? The second round of
Miami Herald, right?
Yeah.
Well, of the exact details and getting actual women to speak on the case, yeah. So I guess that whittled its way around and makes it to the New York U.S. Attorney Office. And they chose to charge him even more.
Run up in his crib.
Right. Ran in his massive mansion in the Upper East Side that used to be a schoolhouse. confiscated a bunch of documents and photos and records, probably linking him to a lot of different things and people and entities. And... They're still in a discovery stage, and a trial was pending. And in the meantime, Jeffrey Epstein obviously was pleading to be bailed out, or you know.
But you know, you're a billionaire. You can't let you rock with that.
Yeah, he's a purported billionaire, or at least definitely some type of massively wealthy financier by any measure. So they also found like fake passports and stacks of money at his house. So the prosecution successfully pleaded for him not to be granted release. So he has been spending the past few months or weeks in MCC. And MCC,
and that's where we are now.
is
thank you for the grounding, DJ.
Right. MCC is a federal complex. It is not the most, it is not Barney's Playhouse or wherever this shit is, like, not a fun place to be. And I'm sure everything was kind of bearing down on Epstein. And reports say that he was, he already had attempted suicide a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I remember this.
Right.
And
so
thereby being on suicide watch.
Right. So their version of suicide watch was monitoring every 30 minutes, having a cellmate with to be housed with a cellmate for however an extended period of time. For whatever reason, they took him off of suicide watch, and as of Saturday, he actually wound up committing suicide. So it was like it defeated the purpose. So now we have this massive case that was already going on, blowing up in everyone's face, based on, at least from what we know or what we could perceive or what is the most straightforward explanation, although relatively stranger to fiction, that they let an important individual just basically slip through the fingers.
Conspiracy.
Is that a song?
No, this is my conspiracy noise.
It's kind of like Scooby-Doo, like. Yeah, so.
Because I, you know.
You got to read up on this shit. It was just like, it is one of those Stranger to Fiction type of things, at least to me, where it was so much on the line and so many, he was known to have dealt with so many powerful people. His main financial patron is Leslie Wexner, who owns a holding company that owns and runs, not Bed Bath & Body Works, Victoria's Secret.
Yes.
Right? So Les Wexner,
that's,
a billionaire.
That's, you know, creepy.
Right. So his proximity to all of these people can definitely do a lot of damage to these people's reputation and their, you know, their livelihoods going forward as well. So any normal person could immediately think or build some type of conspiracy as to why the powers that be would want to snuff him out before he was able to speak or say something.
Who are the powers that be? Because this is the one thing that's funny when you think about.
Well, that's always like this. A question about the conspiracy, right? Because I was like, who is this dark cabal of people that just, you know, have malignant interests?
That's what's really been hot now in the conspiracy side. See, DJ gives you, you know, all the information, but
quote unquote.
If I give my perspective, it's going to be, you know, wild conspiracies because I.
Oh, I mean, I'm because of the way that this has come about. And with his just random suicide, even after being on suicide watch, and after the reports are coming out that the guards at the time were working on overtime, they were doing double shifts, It was understaffed, they weren't doing their due diligence. This wasn't the first time that he hadn't been monitored in quite some time. He wasn't being monitored for hours. So. All this shit lends itself for conspiracies. And there's a grain of truth to just about every conspiracy, right? And there's also any small thing that you can extrapolate and actually make it work out into the narrative that you're trying to build yourself. So that is the first thing I thought of. I'm like, damn, who killed him? Because we don't fucking know. Like, he just committed suicide.
I mean, are you on the conspiracy bandwagon?
Not quite.
He just, it was too much, and he just. Yeah.
I don't even know if it was, well, it if you're left, he was on suicide watch before, right? Because it's a relatively common thing. Unfortunately, as I already said, correctional facilities are foreboding environments. It lends itself to a lot of loneliness and solidarity. And if he already has a lot on his mind and he pretty much knows that he's a guilty man and there's a lot of shit bearing on you and bearing on your mental health. So it is extremely common, at least relative to the normal populace, for suicides to happen, especially in that intermediate time between between you getting indicted and being remanded for trial. or even when you're doing your sentence. So it wasn't quite uncommon, but for them to already have put him on suicide watch and supposedly be watching him, and for somebody as important as him and have such a high national profile as this, for him to slip through the cracks and do it. Yeah, of course people are going to wonder. And we're not just talking about the crazy motherfuckers on the edges of the internet. We're talking about de Blasio said that it was mighty convenient for him to die. And Donald Trump was spreading a conspiracy theory just the other day saying that the Clintons did it. So all this shit is going to roll out just immediately after something like this.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How many suicides or suicide attempts do you think have happened at MCC in the past 50 years?
50 years?
Yeah, how many suicides?
1,800.
One? One before Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay, at MCC though?
Yes, at MCC. Okay.
Did they know who was it? They don't know who was it.
Who was it?
You know who it was? I thought you were about to like drop more shit on it.
I was about to say some wild shit.
I don't even know who's been at MCC.
Oh, man.
It's a federal facility. Yeah.
I was trying to look it up.
Excuse me. Ooh, bless you. Take your time.
Yeah, I was trying to look up and see who it was. But prior to Epstein, here we go. The only other reported suicide at MMC.
Is it MMC?
Yeah, MMC. Occurred 21 years ago when Philadelphia mobster Louis Tura hung himself with a bedsheet in his cell. So I read that recently and I was like, there's no way to, because you know, you hear about jail, you hear about suicide watch. Like, okay, this is the thing that happens. You know, people are in lockup. Like you said, it's a lot of mental pressure. I'm struggling. You know, I molested all these young children. I'm going to die. I'm going to go in jail. I can't even go to jail because I'll get, you know, cut up or whatever.
Yeah. And as
already happened.
As any Law and Order fan be able to tell you, that's the first thing that they pressure.
Yeah. That's the first thing.
Well, SVU specifically. They'd be like, yo, you want to go to jail?
They bludgeon you in. Yeah. You touch little girls, they're going to touch you.
Hey, you coming in, you know what they call you, pedo. Oh, you done. Like, you know, all that shit. So
jail is so terrible. Like, just like this is like the idea. It's like, yeah, you about to get raped.
I'm
like,
I know. Like, it what? It's a very perverse infrastructure that we've set up that doesn't still prioritize human lives and maintaining them to a certain degree, because they're all wards of the state once you are in the jail or in the prison, right? So you would think they still have to have an obligation to keep you alive, but for so many ways, so many things can go wrong, and it just seems like they're just like, yeah, you know, this is just jail. Like sometimes
things can cost living. Like, okay. Because with that, it's like, for there not to be suicides being that common, for all these, oh, they weren't working overtime. Why? Like, what kind of, like, bullshit institutionalist response to something that's as high profile as this? Because you know who else was locked up there for a long time?
Oh.
El Chapo.
Yeah, he was.
And it wasn't gonna fuck that shit up, was there? It was gonna let people be all.
Well, El Chapo was still waiting on somebody to dig through the floor and break him out and shit. That just never happened.
But the idea that you have somebody this high profile, you know, is a flight risk that you know, and you're like flirting around with overtime hours as your excuse. It's like the idea that incompetence or just like bureaucracy was the issue here.
It's hard to believe. Yeah.
I'm full on the grease palms, some dollars being passed. I'm full on.
Like
I said, Ghost did it, dog. I don't give a fuck. Ghost and Tommy.
I mean, it could easily be just an, like you said, greasing the palms or making the environment uncomfortable enough for something like this to happen.
A deft touch.
Yeah, you know. Subtle. Even just for and we're engaging in the conspiracy, obviously, but even just for the guards just not to, you know, to check as often as they should, you know. So this shit went all the way up to the Bill Barr, the Attorney General, lead law enforcement officer in the country, and he had strong words about it. And they're supposedly going to do a full internal investigation by like three different agencies to figure out what to come to a better understanding of exactly what happened.
Because this whole thing is getting beyond like our own internal conspiracies. You got Trump retweeting shit. The idea that this is the piece I wanted to check in on, Daily Beast. Jeffrey Epstein camp sent pathologist Michael Baden to watch over his autopsy. So his estate sends noted celebrity dead person watcher. Like, he's the guy that he did Michael Brown, fucking Aaron Hernandez, the OG Simpson murderers, Phil Spector. I don't know what makes you qualified more so than any other examiner that you've worked these high profile cases. Like, I don't know.
You just build up a name. You just got cash.
I fuck with him. Like, he really knows how
he did. He did Phil Spector. He lit.
Yeah. Like, you know,
did
he
did a good job.
It's just a little, it's getting more and more absurd that, oh, we need this high profile guy because we're trying to verify these different things, and all these different actors are going to come into this now, which.
Yeah, now it's going to boil over because it intersects so much with existing conspiracies.
Oh, and not to mention, even to interrupt you, the document dump that happened, you know,
right before, right?
Yeah. Bill Richardson, so, all these people.
Yeah, so ideally the cache of documents that were already, I guess, under the control of the feds, they unsealed them, and it already contained a lot of salacious material and naming names thus far. So who knows if that added to the pressure either on just Epstein himself or those around him that wanted at least him as a person as an outlet to cease, right? But yeah, no, I was just trying to say it intersects with so many already existing conspiracies as well, just about like these powerful the figures Clinton having
shade and all this.
Yeah, or you know, powerful cabals of people having these sexcapades, sex parties, all these young women around,
all these crazy
trafficking
things.
some fucking taken / eyes wide shut type shit happening, all the way down to just a simple like the Pizzagate type of conspiracy. Yeah. that the crazy guy from North Carolina went into the DC pizza shop and shot up to try to solve that conspiracy. So when things like this happen potentially based on such incompetence where it almost defies logic or reason or reality when it's stranger than fiction, that's going to lead to this type of fever swamp of people just not accepting the explanation that we've been given.
Before we move on from this terrible story, I just wanted to shout out to the tweet to the random person who I can't remember. I'm sorry. I was trying to find it. The idea, we're talking about rich people and this cabal and this backstory, but the idea of Jeffrey Epstein and who he was is just, it made me laugh because the tweet was like, him himself is he's a conspiracy. Just right, like his whole identity and persona. All
right. Because he went from being a teacher at Dalton at a very ritzy, famous,
which he finessed his way into.
Right. Upper East High School. To
befriending somebody at Bear Stearns.
To befriending and then getting a spot at Bear Stearns. Then just continuing to finesse me and being a people person, becoming a patron of Leslie Wexner. And Leslie Wexner supposedly, but we don't, like, honestly, there are a lot of details.
Trying to spare him now and
shit. Right, there are a lot of details in this shit that just don't quite add up. And a lot of people had to know.
Oh,
they just had to know.
They just
They just had to know how he operates, and they clearly participated in this. I just read a New Yorker long profile on Alan Dershowitz, who was this Harvard professor who was Jeffrey Epstein's lawyer in his first in the Florida case, where they basically tarred all of the women that were making accusations, calling them inconsistent or liars or drug users, so on and so forth. It was all part of Dershowitz's strategy. A couple women have accused him, like, being a part of it and having sex with them on multiple occasions in different places and stuff like that. So the powerful can put out a pretty strong company line. It'll be interesting to see if there are more revelations to be made. I think the only very strong silver lining to this terrible happening. And what am I trying to say? To this terrible moment this case, because people really wanted to see justice out of this, or really just, you know, trying to tamp down on the impunity of the rich and powerful that seems to be just ever present, is that supposedly this is not going to end the case, right? There are still a lot of people that were named in these documents, whether it was his lifelong partner, this woman that basically purportedly acted as his madam, or a few other people that have been named and part of the case. So if the feds are really about it, and if the people from the top down don't want it to go away, then the case will continue on, and we'll see.
I like to think if I ever became a rich billionaire sort of person moving through all these spaces, is there a space for like non-deviant sex part? Like, you, I mean, you touched on it, but it's like it always goes to the deviant sex trafficking and yeah, shit.
It always
like,
gets weird. I don't know.
Is that always where we end up? You know, you can't just, I don't know.
Just fuck your wife?
Like, yeah, I mean, fuck your wife, but also, you know, I don't know, spend your money on some jet skis or Jay Leno shit, like cars, stupid shit. I don't know.
Readers and cars getting coffee and shit. Just big ass garage. Jay Leno's garage.
Friggin' just ridiculously vain television show project. This is about your collection and shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Yeah, I mean, you know, I always try to temper my own rhetoric. I mean, I definitely agree with you, but it's like, it's definitely a lot of people doing this shit. Or too many. One is too many. And yeah, it's just fucking weird. But you know, but people do, they, the rich and powerful do shit like this because they know they can get away with it. And that's one. And for two, people are weird. So.
And that's enough. Yeah, I mean, that's enough of reasoning.
You know, all these rich motherfuckers, like a good proportion of them are going to be generally weird and with some like, of their actions, you know, out of step.
Sociopaths to get.
Right, yeah, and out of step with relative polite society's social ethics and mores. So they just be like, oh, well, shit, I'm rich and I'll get away with it, so I'll you know, have a sex slave. Or I mean, Jerry Richardson was the owner of the Panthers. He used to fucking, like, walk around slapping all of his
make him wear pants. He's like, yeah, wear tight pants.
Yeah, tell him wear tight pants and slap butts and shit. Like, he would only do that because niggas rich. Like...
Money crazy, yo. It's like the idea is just like, you know,
it's able to amplify. Like once you have obscene levels of wealth, it just allows you to amplify just the crazy shit you do.
My fictional amount of digits in this account, I just slap butts.
Right.
On that point, if we can, you know, do
the
a little
slapping butts point
on the impunity
right
point. Eurostep, man, to this Deadspin piece, man, because you it fits pretty well the idea about this whole soul cycle equinox thing with Stephen Ross and the Miami Dolphins owner, and the piece you sent just about, you know, these rich motherfuckers are assholes. And I think
generally, yeah.
And the thing that we believe people won't do or will do, the normal ways people interact with social mores, especially with campaign finance and all the things like that. If you're super rich, you want to be able to be like, look at me helping these little Negroes. And, you know, I'll support Trump, but this is what it's supposed to be. I'm a rich person. I get to decide who I help, and the money keeps going to cutting taxes. And that's, what is that? I don't have cognitive dissonance about this.
Yeah, so full context is
yes,
Stephen Ross, he's a billionaire a couple of times over. He is the... owner of the Miami Dolphins, as you mentioned, and also a principal owner of, I believe, Related Properties, right? A massive real estate company, particularly in New York. And that company also owns Equinox, the gym chain, which is owner of SoulCycle, the cult spinning class. So as of recently, it came to be found out that Ross was hosting a $100,000 plate fundraiser for the Trump 2020 election campaign at his home in the Hamptons. And the...
Sounds lit, by the way.
Probably really fucking lit, yeah. So, yeah, then came the reasonably large, very, you know, coastal elitish backlash. I saw a lot of writers canceling, posting screenshots of them canceling their Equinox subscriptions that they got, you know, with a discount from their place of employment.
Billy Eichner and all these people.
Yeah, Jelani Cobb. I saw a few people. So they...
fuck all these people, by the way.
Why?
Okay, because let's
it's also like, these are meager measures, but yeah.
But I mean, no. Let's
multifaceted.
Let's talk about two different things here, because...
fuck all these people. All right, yeah.
No, because... add another article about from the Atlantic, the hypocrisy of SoulCycle and the hypocrisy of sort of everyone on this issue. That
woke capitalism,
yeah, in a way, but also specifically with like gyms. You're all rich, number one. All you people that are cycling and spending all this money on this obscenely, probably unnecessary gym shit, and it's branded in a way.
Equinox is fucking balling. Yeah,
it is right. Balling the shit, it's nice. I've been a couple times on the pass. I was like, nigga, I can't afford this shit.
I had a 1 month free pass, and full disclosure, I'm not gonna lie. I would have kept it, but it was out of the way of my normal commute, so it wasn't really worth it.
This shit is nice. I'm not going to flex like it's not nice, but it's funny because the whole idea of the place is some virtue signaling shit about y'all niggas can't come here.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle gym. It's a elitist type of thing. It's a cloistered subculture. Both Equinox and SoulCycle, they imbue that in different ways for sure.
So, like this piece is talking about, and like the outrage has been about, is that it's this weird backcycling on the idea that they promote this sort of healthy, full lifestyle,
diverse
urban ethos that has become ultimately synonymous with the idea that politics within those things are liberal and that but the whole identity of this place is actually very elitist and is a weird,
well, there's a strong overlap in that,
yeah, but there's this disconnect that the identity of all these things is within the purview of this sort of progressive inclusionary thing when it's mad exclusionary, and it's just funny. It's just funny, yeah, that it's like, oh, he's like, look what you're you don't even, you don't go to a regular gym amongst people that you're supposedly wanting this man to support.
Yeah.
You go amongst him. And he's crafted. Well,
not amongst Trump.
But
Trump represents shitty Americans.
Trump represents shitty Americans, yeah. But he's rich.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Right. But these are the.
It's just funny.
So they don't represent the Trumps, they represent the Ivankas.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
And it's this, and as we know, Ivanka is vapid nothingness.
But polished.
It's just a polished veneer
of politeness. Of politeness. Husk. Cosmopolitanism. Yeah.
A firm handshake, which leads to nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So while I would never, like, I would never agree with someone like Stephen Ross using his money for this, even though, you know, he's got to do this. This is what rich people do to maintain shit. They shake hands and palms. Mm-hmm. It's just funny that the way we navigate this is through what was the levels? It was L Corporation, and through all these things, we had to find out that he owned it or was a principal owner at all. Mm-hmm. And then this is the way we combat it. And I just find it funny all the way around. But all that being said, fuck them.
I mean, these are all relatively meager or futile attempts to dislodge a system, as we already said, of not even just elites, because there are elites that go to your Equinoxes and whatnot, but they, you know, they voted for Hillary Clinton in the 90th percentile in the borough of Manhattan. Not even because they totally liked her politics, but because she was fucking polite about it. Because she represented like the Equinox brand. I mean, just to add another adjective to what we just hashed out in the SoulCycle brand, it's pointed at cities. So we're talking about city people.
Exactly.
So city people live amongst a bunch of different type people, essentially, and are relatively educated, broadly speaking. So, Damn, I lost my train of thought. But we can't, right now, we feel fucking suffocated because the anti-democratic nature of the federal government and federal politics and voting, like the way shit is structured, we have a diminutive say when it comes to political outcomes because, you know, like Trump lost the popular vote. The U.S. Senate the majority of people voted for Democrats, yet the majority of the Senate is Republicans. So we look around and we're like, at least, you know, city folk or people in the city or Equinox customers, the vast majority of them, you look around and you're like, damn, like, what the fuck are we going to do? And you look at the owner of the company, so you, that, like, that's feel like the only few ways that you can try to lash out to really speak to this moment. Because I think the larger point that I'm finally trying to get around to is that this shit was kind of at least passable or more okay, you know, before Trump. But Trump has made everything shitty.
You gotta be on one side or the other side.
It's made everything shitty because, and I agree with it, it's a national crisis that he's the president, right? Based on just a number of just a handful of just terrible things. He's incompetent. He's a racist, which is just
corrupt.
Corrupt. Let's just go with those three things. So that is just a massive mark on the country and is dragging us down morally, economically, somewhat, just our position in the world.
Our time, just petty and fighting over shit and everything.
Yeah, and it puts everybody in a fucking bad mood because the minority people that are supporting him, they are exhausting themselves supporting him. The majority of us that are exhausted by him and are upset about it are getting fucking exhausted by the spiraling that we're in the whole time. So, and each side, I would say, even, especially the opposing side, feels very strongly about it. So anything that is associated with Trump now, whether it's, especially if it's somebody you know that's like supporting him, especially like outwardly financially like that, like having a fundraiser,
right?
That shit really gets people upset.
It's a stance, and you,
that is a big stance.
You can't grease palms both ways right now.
No, you gotta
decide where you're gonna be at, and then that means you have to come back and check back in with Trump later after the election, maybe.
Yeah, or what happened to dark money? Like get your coke boys on. Like, so, he shouldn't have been out there with that.
I got breaking news for you though.
Breaking news.
So here's a piece from Vanity Fair Business. Why the hell is he doing this? The real reason Stephen Ross can't quit Donald Trump, by William D. Cohen.
Taxes.
Well, it's a little more intricate than that. No, so supposedly the idea of his businesses, which include the ones we talked about, but also like Milk Bar, fire, by the way.
Oh, like Momofuku stuff, David Chang.
Shit, like really good.
Yeah, he's an investor in it.
And, you know, he's a New Yorker. He has Hudson Yards, all that shit. Mm. Is because supposedly EB-5 visas are expiring, the law about them in like a month or so.
Okay.
And it basically is how he funds everything the fuck he does. So this is like his moment to really.
Which
like,
one of those represent?
So this
pieces?
Is
which pieces are
foreign capital in land investment.
Okay.
So if you want to come in with at least $500,000, right, you come into his fucking Stephen Ross group and start buying the Hunting Yards or the next fucking Milk Bar or wherever you're going to be there. And that's how he, you know, gets capital easy without having to fuck with banks. He just goes to these individual private investors, all these people.
Oh, like foreign investors. Yeah. Okay.
So that shit is obviously actually under assault from obviously Democrats because they're like, fuck that, you're doing that. But also Republicans in certain places because this idea of international niggas coming and changing shit, native is... people are upset about that on both sides. So he's like, yo, Trump, fuck with me. Keep this shit lit. So supposedly that's his play right now.
Well, there's... and okay, so that, I guess we're at point three, at least for me, when I'm trying to make this clear, is that you're absolutely right. We all, as citizens of this country or wherever you are that has a functioning government, a democratic government, we're cross-pressured with the things that we support. There will always be somebody that you or initiative that you support politically that clashes with something else. So I'm sure there are plenty of, let's say, practicing devout Catholics out here that vote Democratic, but personally oppose abortion per se.
Exactly.
You
know?
So that means you're cross pressured. But you take the sum of one thing, and you voting is a binary.
Because you're a rational person who can make choices.
Ideally, right? But it's you. Voting is zero sum, right? Like you're choosing one and you're not choosing whatever the other options are. So that's not to say that none of us, all this to say is that we're not saying that this shit is good for him to not be supporting Trump. Obviously the entire plutocratic agenda is on the side of Republicans in the GOP, and that's the side Trump is on, and that's a policy platform that he's standing on, albeit he lied his way to get there amongst, you know, everything else. He was supposed to be a different type of president. So we know that. But at the end of the day, we're in a, speaking on my behalf, and as I said, we're in a legitimate crisis.
It's right a now. War right now.
Or whatever you want to call
streets
it.
Ain't for, safe.
You know, as these historians and shit, whatever, say that for the soul of the country, whatever, like, where, like, the shit is pretty stark right now in terms of what the choice is. You're either with this, what do we say? This incompetent, racist, corrupt person, or you're not.
Hey, I mean.
So. And if you have different adjectives to describe him in a positive light, then that's fine. But that means you're with that and you're not with the other side. So Stephen Ross and anybody like that, they can't, there's no waffling. Can't, I know he has game. Some like bullshit racial healing.
Like some nonprofit.
Nonprofit group or some shit, like the fuck out of here. Well, you can't have that and have a racist, for the like an outward white supremacist racist for the president. I mean,
That's the essential argument of this whole racism argument, is that y'all act like this is some shit that's passable, that you can navigate this and be like, oh, well, you know, just because I fuck with a racist doesn't mean I'm racist.
It's just money. So this is part of the summation of point three, is that this is part of a long-standing playbook of particularly the Republican Party after the 60s using racial grievance to divide the electorate while pushing through a set of policies directed by and benefiting most prominently, for one, the conservative part of the country, and most principally, rich people. Yes. That's what it comes down to. Like, I don't know how much more taxes could really be cut the fuck down, but I guess there's more to be done.
Shit. It ain't zero yet. You
know, it ain't zero yet. You know, Grover Norquist is still out here speaking wherever he can, you know, just completely opposing taxes. They want to live into some type of libertarian
feudalism state. They want a feudalist society. Every man. You telling me these rich people wouldn't like have a compound
and have militias and shit?
Have militias and and fucking serfs that they just like, look, doting money upon them and shit.
Okay, so I know we'll just like go on and on about the shit, but you know what's annoying though is that a lot of the motherfuckers like live in New York and shit. It ain't like you just, they have a nice ranch in Wyoming or wherever the fuck, but y'all live in New York.
And they're taking advantage of all these ideas. I saw somewhere where there is a big contingent of people that forget about how much value they get from free shit. Like, niggas who run corporations and be like, I run water mills out here, and niggas just take it for granted the fact that they're just using some publicly available nature and shit. But it's just the idea that it's like, there's so much shit that is not dependent upon your own sort of like
we all
individual
drive on
thing.
The highway.
It's hilarious.
We drive on the highway, there's no real like the line is always relative, but if you let one side, you know, trample over the other side, then there'll never really be clarity in terms of.
I mean, even the mooch is out on Trump now.
I saw that. And for whatever reason today, CNN was on the TV at work, and that shit just always makes me upset because they play this shit like it's a fucking sitcom every day, and it's annoying. I don't really give a damn about the mooch and how he's come to Jesus, I guess, and he's out on Trump, and he said he's like Ebola or some shit. What did he say? You compare him
to? I don't know. He said something
he
like,
he said he's bad. Trump said, fuck him, suck my dick, you know, and just suck my dick. Yeah, so, you
now,
know.
I don't fuck with you now.
In other words, it's Monday.
It should remind me of Floyd and 50 Cent and shit. It's just like, what? Y'all think it's fighting?
Y'all were homies?
Just
y'all gonna be cool. Homies back?
Y'all just fighting and shit.
I was like, what are the chances? What are the chances Scaramucci be back on the bandwagon and by like September 2020? Come on now, let's be real.
Of course.
So, yeah, I think we made it pretty clear.
Can we talk about some black people's shit?
Sure.
Shift gears.
Oh, let me see. Did we really make that shit clear about this whole like shit?
It's just continue. I just
no. I'm just trying to make sure that we really got a point across. I think I made my pretty good 3 points. I feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean they're well plotted.
Yeah, but I mean
I rambled a bit. Clarification.
Yours were good.
Shit, clarification. Obviously there is a schism in this world. Please decide where you belong in this schism, and while you may feel strongly you're making a stance about whatever it is, be cognizant of your elitism. And that's just my annoyance about most shit. And it's not just this idea that white people are doing their annoying white liberal thing. It's just the idea that all of us, even I will say myself at times, where did I go? With someone recently, I was like, oh, that's how your niggas do. And you just can't, don't be like that. Don't be like that and then talk about fundraisers and shit. Go all the way.
Okay. So, okay. In summation, for me, definitely, I made the 3 points, but coming back just to SoulCycle and Equinox, those are lifestyle brands, and they lend themselves to city people. So you cannot have that part of your brand. Well, this was politically stupid on his part. You cannot have that part of your brand, but still be connected to you doing a Trump fundraiser at your house.
Because it's all about association.
It's all about association, and people know a lot more than they used to. And we're not quite there yet. And that's why we're at such a rocky point in American history right now. But marginalized groups, people of color, progressive types, the mass media, everybody knows that this shit is fucked up and is not right, and they're really pushing against this. So, against, let's just say, white male rule, as it's been for the past 250 years. Right. So, you got to be cognizant about this shit. Like, if you're going to do this shit, you got to do it on the low. You got to get your dark money on. Don't have a fundraiser at your crib. It's just not a good idea. If you're going to continue with the plutocratic agenda, do it at, I don't know,
do
Mitt
it through, Romney crib or something. Do shit. It through Patriots for America PAC.
There you go. Patriot PAC. Pat PAC.
If I can I tell you an anecdote about this Trump shit? One last one. Sure. I was in southern New Jersey for some reason this weekend.
I was kind of there. I was on the shore, I tell you.
Yeah, you know, I made my way to a flea market in Columbus, New Jersey, and it was pretty big and pretty populated. And it wasn't too far from Philadelphia, so it was close enough to the city. But as I wandered around there, you go to a flea market and people bring their wares from wherever they came from.
Yeah.
And I found myself looking at, there's a lot of Mexicans here, and they're like selling, you know, food or whatever, and it's really cool. I had me some horchata, it was delicious. Kept going along, and there were so many Trump people selling shit. Trump hats. And subsequently also knives. A lot of sold a lot of Trump shit. You also had mad like hunting knives and stabbing knives.
Knives. That's a brand, right? a type stabbing knife? Yeah.
Stabbies. but it was just an interesting, when talking about association, because we were so close to the city. And there was this weird aura that when you would go by someone selling clothes or someone selling knockoff crap or CNTV things or their own junk, to have the ingratiation of people that were so willing to just be like, I am an arbiter for this Trump shit. And I'm doing it with hats. I'm doing it with shirts. I'm doing it with fucking weird, it's always weird weapons and BB gun, all these like airsoft.
Hatchet knives.
And
tomahawk knives.
It's not that far from us. So it's a weird space to be in, to navigate, that some people are willing to associate with this brand, and it's that brand is a lot closer to us than we want to acknowledge. And I don't know, it was very harrowing because I was like, damn, we right by Philly. So it was like 20 minutes.
I'm clutching my pearls.
You don't know who's out here.
Tell me about it. Neighbor Trump supporter. No, I'm kidding.
sorry, coming to terms.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that some of this shit would have worn off, or the news would have made people kind of second guess it, or at least not to be as outward with it. But shit, if Stephen Ross could do it, these motherfuckers outside of Philly are cool with it. I mean, his approval rating is still in the 40s, right? So he still has a chunk of the country that's, if not enthusiastic about it, okay with the job he's done. So
thanks, whites. Moving on, DJ. I wanted to talk about being greater.
Greater.
Being more than. More than a podcaster.
I hope.
Man. More than a professional. I mean, I hope, shit, if you could afford it, you gotta live. And more than an athlete.
More than an athlete.
Yeah, and more than an agent.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're aware, August 5th, the NCAA released some guidelines to become an agent for perspective. Mm-hmm. pro athletes at the NCAA level because they're allowing NCAA athletes to sign with the agent and potentially come back to school and dabble prior to declaring for whatever sport they are, particularly basketball.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So, if you're not aware, you may be, because today we have some updates with this, but there were a number of criteria, including taking
an exam, right?
An exam, being at least operating in this capacity for 3 years, paying a fee, and also, supposedly, a college degree.
Gasp.
Gasp!
You also have to be part of
the agents.
Yeah, yeah, be approved by
the NBA Association PA or some shit. Yeah. So, certified by the MBPA. And the idea that you had to have a college degree was of much contention, DJ.
Mm.
Because of one particular, the GOAT agent right now, the God.
The God.
The best friend.
That's my best friend. That's my best friend.
That a man can have. Rich Paul. The Rich Paul rule. Rich Paul rules.
You know, for like 3 years, I thought he was just like the Chris Paul doppelganger. Like Rich Paul. Cliff Paul, Rich Paul.
You know how long Chris I thought Rich Paul was on the back of Maverick Carter's head, like in Harry Potter or shit? Just, I was like, oh, this is two different people. I'm confused. I just.
Yeah.
So now I'm also kind of like, what does Maverick Carter do?
He talking.
He does the he has the twist. He has the Hove twist.
Yeah, and arguably. Yeah.
Yeah. Rich Paul speaks is actually the agent.
Yeah. Rich Paul be in the trenches.
And Mav just out here just making appearances, flexing, yeah. And like sending up movie deals. Okay, fine. So with this Rich Paul role, there's a lot of acrimony about what it means to be an agent. What are the requirements? And over the past weekend, leading up to today, where the NCAA scrapped the rule after Rich Paul himself wrote an op-ed in The Atlantic decrying what the NCAA did because it is preventing people like him, people from the streets of Cleveland, also endured and may not have this degree. If you may be a professional and just don't have a degree, why do they need that? This is just something, another artificial barrier.
Right,
preventing people from working in the business.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Well, first off, was there any larger context besides like cock blocking anybody following Rich Paul?
Well, do you remember what happened this past year concerning the NCAA specifically and Rich Paul?
No, go ahead.
So this idea of paying NCAA players for the longest has been floating over the culture and everything like that.
Yeah.
So. Alternatives have started to come about. The idea that G League's going to start paying a little more, yeah, or kids are going like the whole ball shit, ball family bullshit.
Yeah, and there was a top flight player that went. He was going to like New Zealand or Australia or something.
So Kenyon Martin's son, another young guy who's better ready, to, and then LaMelo Ball are all going to New Zealand. I want to say or Australia.
Yeah, one of them
to play same league, whatever. And so. That's happening. But last year, Darius Bazley, who was a prospect, got drafted. I believe he's on the Thunder now.
Okay.
Was supposed to, I want to say, go to Arizona. And then he was like, fuck that. Rich Paul got me a deal with New Balance.
Ooh.
And I'm going to just train on my own for the entire year before I get drafted and hang out a New Balance and wear sneakers.
Right. I think I'm familiar with this. Yeah. He got like $1 million deal.
He got $1 million to just do that all year and train on his own, orchestrated by Rich Paul himself. So it makes it seem as though the idea that him as sort of the beginning of this is a threat to the NCAA. In his op-ed, he feels like he doesn't know. He says, I don't know if my work with Darius Bazley caused this, but he said he doesn't feel like it was particularly attacking me because if anyone who's been paying attention to Rich Paul, obviously he's LeBron's agent, Anthony Davis' agent, Ben Simmons' agent.
He's a lot of people's agent. He's a lot of the better players' agents.
I mean,
he's up there.
He's in the league, so fucking with NCAA young niggas coming out may or may not be his purview unless it requires him to find a new diamond rough or something like that. It's not like he needs to be scrounging for clients. And on top of that, he basically folded a deal with Clutch Sports Group to be the sports arm of CAA recently.
Okay.
So they just put that under there. So he's set. So it seems more like a thumb at the idea of Rich Paul, mm-hmm. and that you can start getting these young guys to opt out of NCAA, and NCAA, as it's been over these years, is just, you know, trying to hold on to the monetary value of these young players, and they may or may not be able to do it in any kind of fashion that keeps up the amount of money that they get to this day. So the piece says a lot. I mean, I feel some of the whole LeBron and Rich Paul, Mav Carter spin in this.
Yeah.
The idea, he says he supports the idea of doing the test or guys having experience and maybe potentially why don't they find a way to partner with young agents to help them break into the league. I was like, I mean, that's a fair thing, and doing a program or something like that. Or he just feels like it's a necessary barrier. And I mean, it probably is, considering that being an agent, and I'm to go real high level on this, being a lot of things, you just have to let people do it. You don't fucking, the idea you need to go to school for this shit is a scam.
Right. So to be clear, Rich Paul did not either go to college or graduate, right?
That's no. the idea?
Okay. So this was a relatively punitive measure to eliminate the chance of any type of Rich Paul character to arise after.
And then, I mean, there's a weird, outside of Rich Paul specifically, or some guy that like didn't go to school and now he's aging. Oh, right. Oh shit. But the NCAA as an entity to be like, we're not going to require a degree is like a tough place for their whole.
I get.
I mean,
okay.
Not to say that it's right.
No.
But it's just like, what are we devalue the whole idea of what we're doing?
Quote unquote student athlete. Yeah, but that hadn't been the place. That hadn't been the case already. They just felt like they had been subverted a little bit by Rich Paul. Were there any other upstart agents that hadn't graduated from school making waves?
Drew Rosenhaus, remember him?
Yeah, because he had a pretty big public profile. Yeah.
Thanks for letting me down easy on that one.
What would you mean?
So you're just like, yeah, I knew him. He had a big profile.
No, because he was a dickhead. He was just like,
I just remember the whole thing with
T.O. He was like the Anthony Scaramucci of sports, basically. Gadfly.
Yeah, I mean, good point. I don't know too many other agents by name because I choose not to. Like,
right. So ideally, it's kind of punitive to close off that avenue. So for one, the whole idea of college itself and college sports is obviously way past its optimal usefulness.
It should just fall apart all the way around.
Yeah. And you have top firms in all different type of sectors that are no longer requiring bachelor's degrees because they see in a lot of cases, when it comes to these relative knowledge-based jobs, you could go on YouTube and figure out how to do most of the shit nowadays. And you could go to YouTube and figure out being an agent. So, yeah, for them to come in so late in the game, it just looks even more flagrant with that. Like, oh, yeah, you got to have a bachelor's now when everybody else doesn't have a fucking bachelor's.
It doesn't matter.
Right. It's not anything that requires passing a bar or some type of medical exam or anything like that. It's a fucking agent.
Yeah, anything non-specific to a particular skill or you need a database of knowledge or technical, it's like, nigga, being an agent is going to meetings.
Yeah, and finessing, speaking well.
And just like having somebody like
details.
You. Really having somebody like you.
Yeah.
Because then you go to a lawyer, they'll draw up the shit, and that's it. Like, niggas just want to act
people
like
a person. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it. NCAA year by year is just, you know, they're just looking more and more pitiful. All of these last grasps at any potential means of control and power that they can exhibit to stave off, you know, another year, another season, another $1 billion paycheck that they get for advertising for the NCAA tournament. You know, another year of hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue that they get from University of Alabama football. That'll be good for them. And this is just one of those things where we have that cognitive dissonance, right? Where we take in these products, particularly NCAA sports at the highest levels. We enjoy it. There's a lot of passion and joy and enthusiasm that we get from these sports, especially if you are from those regions or have gone to those schools. But at the same time, we know it's fucked up and it's like bullshit and it's a terrible model. And we just live with it. because there's not enough collective energy for people with the real power to do something about it to break out of it. Albeit until it seems like the trickle is starting to add up over the past couple of seasons with some of these top flight players going overseas or signing with your Rich Pauls to circumvent the entire NCAA process because they see the fuckery in the first place.
Exactly, man. I mean, shout out to Rich Paul. Shout out to LeBron and team. I wish, and we're talking about people who are exerting their power, because this episode, that's the theme.
Yeah.
In shitty, terrible ways and nondescript ways, but in good ways too. And I just wish they weren't so lame about it half the time.
And weren't
cornballs half the time.
LeBron is
but,
corny.
But, you know, another thing we see on this pod, I feel like a lot of shit is not for us. I'm sure there's some nigga that's 17. It was like, yo, this is, you know, more an athlete. Yo, it hit him, right? You know, solar plexus, and they needed
right,
that.
All those emojis, right?
Frown face, king arm, or whatever.
Strong.
For sure. Crown.
Yeah, I think we both love LeBron, but we always talk about how just fucking, like, corny and heavy-handed he is with some of his messaging. Where it's like, either you just innately put up this corny message, or you and your whole team
think this shit is dope.
Y'all workshop this shit for like 3 hours and be like, yeah, this is it. This is the one. Strong emoji arm.
Let me look at his Twitter real quick.
I
had to verify this because it's been like even the shop people. Oh, the shop is dope. It's like,
I mean, we already took that down. Yeah,
I love that all these people are together in one place. But it's like, dog,
they're getting closer. They're getting collectively closer.
Just tell me something true. Just don't whitewash everything.
They're getting collectively closer though to that. Maybe Bron clearly feels like he has too much at stake, so he pulls his punches to a large degree when it comes to his messaging and a lot of different avenues, and there's, you know, a lot of truth to that. So can't hold it against him.
More than an agent, fist. Strong arm, king. I'm just going through the emoji report of LeBron James. Port of Miami 2, Rick Ross face. It's so damn good, man. It continues to get better. Let's see. It looks like a portrait image. Like portrait image emoji. Praying hands, high five on what you call it. I call it the praying
high
hands.
Five?
I think it's a bow.
Let me see which one.
I like
that's praying hands.
Praying hands. Some people call it high five. 100 crown, blaze pizza, smiley face pizza, 3 fire emojis, crown. I feel like he works a crown into most of them, so I respect the branding on that, King James, you know. But it's like, oh, you remember this guy, throwback to St. Vincent, St. Mary's. Yes, sir, congrats, my brother, Drew on demand. Drew Joyce,
ooh.
Played with him. Love, bro. He got a coaching job in Ohio somewhere. Praying hands, heart emoji. It's just funny. One more. You know, Trump, you know, let out Santonio Brown or whatever. Didn't that go through? The idea of the woman that was in, like, she had a domestic violence thing. She shot someone. But LeBron shouting her out. Praying hands. The raised hands. The celebration hands.
Okay, yeah. Praise hands, yeah.
So LeBron, you know, very on brand. But shout out to them. It's all love. But, you know, y'all just do pull a veil up a little bit sometimes.
They need to hire, like, Vince Staples or somebody to be part of the media team.
Yeah, the honest person. Like, just be honest.
Just like say some shit. Like, what are they gonna do to this nigga now? Like,
you're the top of the game.
The second goat. Like, what are they gonna do? So, it's funny. Was he on the aughts all decade team? LeBron?
Rich Paul?
No, not Rich Paul. Rich Paul's like 4'11". Or at least he appears. So maybe just because he always standing next to LeBron. So I don't know. He could be like 6'2".
Living in LeBron's pocket. Just hanging out like a Joey.
Like a Joey, that's funny.
He I mean, on which one?
The previous aughts. Yeah, not the tens.
I don't know if there was one. Was there an all decade team for that?
Who the fuck cares? That was a lost decade anyway.
2000s?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Shaq.
Okay, no, the mid Tim okay, mid 2000s is the
Shaq,
boss.
Tim Duncan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant,
T-Mac.
This is my all. I'm taking my all decade team or whatever. I guess T-Mac. I don't know.
Chris Webber, maybe?
Chris Webber, Dirk. Great power forwards.
Steve Nash.
Jason Kidd. I like it. I think that's it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck it. That was it.
Paul Pierce?
Nah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, they won.
Like, 13.
Ben Wallace, oh, 13.
Oh, you said KG?
KG.
You said Ben Wallace?
Obviously, KG, Dirk, Tim Duncan.
Dwight Howard?
Dwight Howard. Hmm. Dwight Howard straddled both, but Dwight, you got the numbers.
Got the numbers.
So, if we wrap this podcast up, let's talk about it. All-Decade Team.
And the fewer that emerged from this Instagram post or some shit. It's like the laziest rollout the NBA
This is the social media project that went well. It's like, listen, I'm an intern at NBA this summer now. This my social media project is the all-decade team. And they were like, we love it. We love it. Curtis? I don't know. Nah, he wouldn't be Curtis. It'd be some white kid. I want to know what you think. You said there's Kobe outrage.
Yeah, because he's a third team.
And this is from the internets. They think he should not being disrespected.
We're doing what we hate, what we do. Like, the aggregated news is the wackest shit to me.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's
like, Kobe Bryant is on the third all-decade team. And Twitter
someone else
was
said
furious.
Something. Twitter was furious. Like, this person on Twitter said this. We're four reports down.
We reported on random, potentially like 40% bots. It's like, nigga, what are
we ridiculous. But we just talk shit. We talk enough shit that is valid.
Yeah, no, it's for sure. And it is something that existed beyond just the outrage and the outrage about Kobe.
And I want to know, man. I want to know how you feel.
The outrage about Kobe speaks to the cult of Kobe as well that emerged not even during his eight era, but the 24 era.
Yeah.
It became just a bigger thing. And when he rebranded himself as this
pseudo
cerebral scowler Mamba thing.
The shit that lame's like.
I guess.
I'm saying it. I'm putting it out there.
And there's not enough backlash to that. To just Kobe as an entity.
Oh, this is your hot take. The general Kobe, his stand-up is not, it needs some pushback. That's what you're saying.
Well, he was rarely, if ever, the best player in basketball when he played. And, I mean, he's still probably top 10. I fuck with Kobe. But Kobe missed a lot of fucking shots.
I disagree with you. Not to be a Kobe stan. I think the idea that he was the best player, he was the best player for a number of years. I think people wanted.
What year was he the best player? Besides the year he won MVP.
He was the best player from. I don't think he was the best player the year he won MVP.
Who was Steve Nash?
LeBron James was. 2008.
The year that he won it?
Yeah.
That Kobe won it?
Yeah.
Oh, what year did he average like 34 and Steve Nash won it? He was the best player that year.
Hell yeah. He was the best player from the moment.
The moment he got off the charge,
the moment he was flying back and forth,
the average of 40.
So that shit was 2004. That was 2004 to 2007. So those 4 years, he was the best player in basketball. People don't want to admit it because niggas was mad at him. Okay. They was mad at him, so they just acknowledged that this shit happened.
That's definitely still within the prime of like Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and a young LeBron.
So
he's better than all of them. And T-Mac,
Duncan. He won his two MVPs in like 2001, 2002. Like,
but he was still
good. Dramatic. But he wasn't, nigga. You knew what Kobe was doing at that time. He was doing a lot. He was doing much.
He was out there cooking with Brian Cook.
He was out here cooking
Devin
with Brian
George,
Cook.
Got Chris Mim.
That's when his whole new identity came together. He got tattoos and shit.
Yeah, just like, lost
that McDonald's deal. A lot of shit happened to him. He was giving you buckets, and it was obscene. So they just didn't want to acknowledge it because that's when. You know, Steve Nash became important because of, you know, everything. Mouse in the Palace. And so that happened, but he earned that period. Now, the post period from there is when that stand-up ramped up and started to eat itself. And
yeah, and it was
it ended the career time. That the last, like, 6 years were oppressive.
That's what I'm saying, though. The hagiography at the end of Kobe Bryant's career, when he was clearly just not what he was and also just not the best player, the Lakers were not particularly good. But it was just this cult of Kobe following, and he, just through his own vanity, extended his own career. What's up?
He loved it.
Yes, and he extended his own career by like two extra unnecessary ass seasons, especially that last one, which was just fucking pitiful. I remember I was on the flight, I think, going to Coachella.
Take all the shots at last game.
That last game where the Jazz just let them win, and he took 60 shots and had 50 points or something like that.
60 shots, 60 points.
That was lit. I'm not going to lie. But he could have done that like two seasons before and it would have been like the same type of thing. So it's just, it's a lot of Filipino kids on forums.
It's true.
From Cali that weird they Kobe Bryant t-shirt.
Like Mexican sleep. Cats, Kobe fucker, you know. It's all about just, Kobe, fuck you.
Just going like extra ham, and that shit pollutes the internet just like Trump stands. Like it's the same type of anything with just a weird cult or personality that you can just can't put your finger on.
And this is your takeaway from the All Decade Team, is that Kobe just that third team snub ruined the whole thing for you because no, of the stands.
It didn't ruin it, but first off, it was just mad random because we're also still within 2019. So does this upcoming season not count? Is that
how no 2009, 2010. So it's that first season through the 2018-19 season, because next year will be for this season is going to be for the 20s.
If that's how you have it standardized, that's fine. But beyond that, I don't know. I really haven't thought about it that hard, but it was just funny. And because I've just been harboring this kind of
resentment for it. It's annoying.
Kobe fatigue and skepticism, and how he's just viewed as this somehow just a basketball savant. And he spearheaded his own program. He won a fucking Oscar for
his sob story.
And this is all out of like begrudging love. I fuck with Kobe on the whole, but it's just like, how much is too much for somebody that missed so many shots?
I'm not on the efficiency gang, so I don't. That doesn't bother me.
I'm not about being in the efficiency gang, but he basically played like Michael Jordan, but missed way more shots
because he took them.
So did Michael Jordan.
No, but he took more.
No,
fuck it. I respect fuck it.
He's like Westbrook but more elegant. Just shoot you out the whole game and be like, damn, but it looked good
because though. Westbrook is like, you know, he's gonna miss, so it'll set you. But Kobe like, yo, it's like hope, but it's obviously a bad shot. My couple takeaways from All Decade thing, I love a good look back on some shit, so I'm like, oh, All Decade, let me think about it. Reminisce. Kyrie Irving was snubbed from this list by the inclusion of either Kobe Brown or Dwayne Wade.
Okay.
He flagrant snub, by the way.
Hold on, let me see. Who's on here? I'm going to name the team.
Well, there's three teams.
Three teams. So first team.
Yes.
Steph Curry. Yes. Kevin Durant.
Yes.
LeBron James.
Yes.
James Harden.
Yes.
Kawhi Leonard.
And wrong. Continue.
Okay. Second team. Chris Paul.
Great.
Anthony Davis.
Great.
A little skeptical, though. Okay. Mm-hmm.
When you think about who else could it be, there's no answer.
Continue. Fair. Russ Westbrook.
Great.
Yes. Melo.
Skeptical.
Skeptical. Especially for second team. What has Melo done in the past decade?
Melo hasn't done anything for like 7 years.
Yeah, though. No, worth the seven on his jersey. Guy body. Okay. Blake Griffin. Okay.
Yeah.
I fuck with Blake.
Fair.
Third team, LaMarcus Aldridge, got the numbers.
He's slow and steady.
Yeah. Dwayne Wade, Kobe, Giannis.
This whole third team was a wild sketch.
And Paul George?
I guess.
Damn, did shit really fall off that hard after this? Damn.
It really did if you think about it. So
who's snubbed?
So to my 2 points, Kawhi definitely needs to go down.
Probably down.
Yeah. To second team. And I'll probably put Chris Paul on the first team.
Yeah.
Or shit. So Dwight Howard. Yeah, so these Dwight are my two sons. Yeah. Dwight Howard and Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. I'll put Dwight.
Dwight can be on first team. And just off the strength of his first like four or 5 years.
But his past three seasons have been nothing. So
but Kobe and Dwayne Wade are on the list. So that shit is just like Melo's on it. It's just like completely irrelevant.
So was this all just star chasing? Like who else had been potentially?
Dwight
snubbed?
Got two. He had four straight the defensive player of the years. Two in this decade. I want to say three. Like 2010, 11, 12.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
four All Stars. Four like All First Team. Five All. Like he did mash it.
Oh no, he definitely was snubbed. They got Paul George right here. Like come on now.
And then Kyrie. One-time champion.
One time.
But I want to say 6-7-time All-Star.
Okay. Three-time finalist?
Rookie of the year.
Or four-time finalist?
Three-time, I want to say, because he left as the fourth year. But rookie of the year, so mm-hmm. out the gate hot. Mm-hmm. Two-time All-NBA player. All-Star MVP. Like, just over the course of these past 10 years, nigga, he done it.
Good resume.
He done it.
Good resume.
Over the course of the whole time. Better than Melo.
Better than Melo. Melo, second team. Come on now.
And I fucked with him, but, you know, come on now. So, you know, Shout out to those guys.
Shout out to the intern that put this shit together. I had the whole NBA.
I know, right?
Internet sizzling.
I hope they hired you.
You know who it was? Motherfucking Kari Arnold. Says.
Shout out to Kari Arnold.
Yeah, that's who they have as the author of this. Okay. All right, Kari.
Well, DJ.
We'll see you in the streets.
We're an hour and 15 minutes in this podcast.
Yeah, no, we were trying to knock the rust off.
So we appreciate y'all hanging out this whole time. You know, we gave you a little extra because we've been missing.
Yeah, we're going to edit this. Probably not, but just want to put that out there.
If this is in the podcast, you know that it wasn't edited. But yeah, I'm excited for the season. So hopefully it's a great upcoming decade.
Yeah, I think it's looking up. You know, I'm looking forward to Jokic being on there. Giannis again.
Of course.
What's his young? Shit, Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard, wasn't it?
Dame Lillard.
That's my man, too.
Kind of a snub, too. Shit.
It's not a really good young players. Trae Young.
Younger. Interesting.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'll only talk with him. Well, it's been another great Send the Link. We're glad you guys are back with us after a little hiatus there. And we'll always talk more shit next week. Always Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, everywhere you find us. And be on the lookout for the links.
Yeah, thanks for your patience in our absence and for making it through this pod. If you made it thus far, that's a real testament to your love, and we love you too.
So please go out there and be a Kobe stan on the internets.
Yeah, man. Find me on the internet and harass me. Dox me. Not really.
We'll be back.
Don't swat me. You can dox me. Don't swat me. You know, swatting is.
I don't know what this
is. Swatting is when niggas are in that put out your address and call the police on you.
I thought that was doxing. That's when they tell people to like get you or something.
Yeah, and that's just doxing is like everybody spamming you in your shit. Or they put out your information. That's when you put out your information. But swatting is when they call the police on you and the police come. Somebody got like killed by the police over that shit before.
Stay off the internet, y'all.
Alright, well, they need the internet to hear us.
Just like our political process. Peace.
Yeah.